Okay, Erev Tov, new Sefer. We start tonight Sefer Shmos. The Netziv writes, it is Hakdama to Svar Mal Torah HaMekadavar, that Sefer Shmos is referred to as the Sefer HaGeula. Netziv writes that it's referred to Sefer HaGeula, and ideally that's the theme that I want to focus on tonight, is the safe, is different aspects of the Geula. So the first idea that I want to speak about tonight is something that we're going to work a little backwards from towards the end of the Parsha. We'll sort of take us back towards the beginning of the Parsha. So towards the end of the Parsha, just a couple of facts about different things that happened with the Geula. After it was decided towards the end of the Parsha that they're going to approach Paro after a while of constant slavery and persecution in Mitzrayim, Moshe met Aaron, and they decided they were going to go together to confront Paro about the situation. And before they went to Paro, what did they do? They ended up getting they wanted to get confirmation. They wanted to get a haskama. They wanted to get an approbation from the Ziknei Yisrael, and they wanted everyone to be on the same page. They weren't just going to just take matters into their own hands. If they really wanted to genuinely be representatives of the people, they wanted to be the shluchei derachmana and the shluchei derabana, right? But the representatives of the zakenim, and also representing HaKadosh Baruch Hu to approaching power. To try to free them. So, what exactly did they do? The pasuk says in Perek Dalet, pasuk Lamed Aleph. Well, what was the response? Well, what was the national response? Well, what was the governmental response from the offer that Aaron and Moshe decided that they wanted to help them and ultimately take them out of Mitzrayim. So the pasuk says, "Vayamin ha'am v'yishmu ki pakar Hashem es b'nei Yisrael v'chira'as en yasanyam v'yikdu v'yishtachavu." They were super excited for it. They were very down for it, as they would say. They were like, "Yes, we want to get out of here. We believe in you. And they ended up bowing down to him and to Moshe and Aaron, and at that moment they declared them as the leaders of the generation, and that they were going to be the ones that they put their trust in terms of being the representatives of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to try to take them out of Mitzrayim. So just to deepen on this a little bit, one can ask, why was Moshe almost in this search to gain all this popularity? There was no real elections, as you would say, here in Eretz Yisrael and in America. There was no primaries. There was no vote of who was gonna be the monarch of Klal Yisrael, who was gonna be the one that was gonna be the chosen one to take out those chosen one from Mitzrayim. There was no competition. What confirmation, what authorization was Moshe trying to seek out? He could have just done the whole thing on his own. Forget about all this drama with other people involved. Would have went to Paro, would have told him, "Listen, let my people go." He would have said no. Would have been 10 makos. They would have suffered. He would have gone out. Bnei Yisrael wouldn't have known anything. Would have been all, behind the scenes, as they say. And everyone would have been crossing the Kriyas Yamsuf. Why was it that Moshe had to get everyone else involved? Why was he trying to search for their approval? Why was it that he should be the leader? Why was he trying to search for his approval that they want Moshe to take him out of Mitzrayim? So, Rav Simcha Zissel Ziv Mikelm, otherwise known as the Altar of Kelm, the Mashkiach in Yeshivas Kelm, explains, back in those days in Europe, in certain Musar Yeshivas, the Rosh Yeshiva wasn't really the big, he wasn't the leader of the Yeshiva. The Musar Yeshiva is the Mashkiach. He was known as the Altar, the older one. The oldest Rav in the Yeshiva. Everyone looked up to him. Like in a Slabodka, the Altar Slabodka, Rav Nosson Tzvi Fink. He wasn't the Rosh Yeshiva Slabodka, but he was known as the Manhig. He was the leader of it. He was the Mashgiach. So, And Kelm was one of the most popular Musar yeshivas. Everything they read, their Musar Mahalach was everything they represented. Everything had purpose. Every specific thing that they saw, everything that they did had a specific reason. They used to say there was a story that one someone put by accident left an umbrella there. You know, it was raining and he forgot to take the umbrella. He left it in the coat room, and that umbrella remained there for 10 years. 10 years. Why? Because everyone was afraid to, do something with it. It was like, it was there. Like, it must have been, there was a certain purpose. Like, to slowly, they were not into changing anything in their routine. Everything was very, straight to the point, with purpose. So anyways, though, he explains that what's going on here, the Altar of Kelm explains that Moshe went out and spoke with the Zakenim, spoke with Bnei Yisrael. He was representing, he was showing that there was going to be a certain pattern. There's a certain pattern of throughout generations in terms of the pattern of the Golus and the Geula of exactly how it works in Klal Yisrael. What happens? They sometimes lack certain emuna, become assimilated with secular society, start to intermingle with other cultures. And ultimately, Akash Baruch decides that they need a little cleansing. They need a little tara. Sometimes they might have to, it might be perceived they have to suffer a little bit sometimes. Akash Baruch has to put us in Golus. And when we're in Golus, we're there. And at a certain point, we finally, there's a certain hakar, there's a certain recognition that it stinks. It's very bad here. This is not enjoyable to be in Golus. This is hard work. We miss the good old days. This is very hard. Almost like here, from Parshas Vayechi, you have Klal Yisrael going from being on top of the world. Right? You have Yosef Atzadik, second in command of the most powerful nation in the world. To what? Bnei Yisrael becoming a bunch of day laborers. Doing back-breaking work every day, day in and day out. And then what happens? What's the next part? All of a sudden, what brings the geula? The emuna. At a certain point, they understand, okay, enough's enough. We got to now buy back in. Remember, we have to, if we want it to be like the good old days, on our Kodesh Baruch Hu's end, we also got to make sure it's like the good old days back on our end. That's what having emuna in our Kodesh Baruch Hu. Therefore, that's why Moshe had to go out and get the approval of the Ziknei Yisrael, get the approval of Klal Yisrael themselves, because he wanted to check in. He wanted to make sure: are they ready for the Geula? Do they really believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu again? It's been a while. It was a bunch of years since they were really doing, Avodas Hashem Kmo Shetzarich. Right now, they were on a certain Yerida. They were on a very low level. Very little tower. There was a lot of tumah that was going on in their lives. But that's why Moshe had to check in and get that approval rating. It wasn't his approval rating that he wasn't, am I a good leader? It was, are you guys ready? Do you guys want the geula or not? And only once did they agree, and they bowed down, and they said, yes, yes, yes. Only then was Moshe able to start the whole geula process. Such an important yisod that can be applied nowadays. Like, it's almost like, we're right now, quote unquote, in the Cheshkes Hagolus, right, we're in this darkness of exile. Some people like to tie them also on the other hand, with sort of the Aschalta de Geula. Also, we're on our way there to the Geula. We're not quite there yet, but we're heading in a decent direction. But it's a certain question in which, every single person every day really has to ask himself. It's like, how much do people really want the Geula? How much do people really want the Beis HaMikdash now? How much do people really want Mashiach to come? Only really those who really feel pain. That the fact that there is no, the fact that we don't have that which we once had. Only those people, if you really genuinely feel that pain, then you really, really want it. If you were to really ask anyone that's living a comfortable life, that feels that they have a good quality life. They're living a life like whether it be monetary or whether it just be, just with themselves. Any super, super rich person, let's say, has their own island and a mansion and a bunch of convertibles. and has a very good quality, feels like he has a good quality lifestyle. He's happy, even happy with what he has. But we're talking about people who have net worths that are six figures, not even seven, eight figures, even more. Let's say even billionaires. I think any billionaire would say, you know what? Forget about what's going on here with my life. I'm ready for Mashiach. I'm ready for the Beis HaMikdash. I'll leave my island. I'll leave my mansion. I'll come to Eretz Yisrael. I'll be like with everyone in Klal Yisrael. Do we really think that? Even not those extremes. Just in terms of us, to a certain extent, I feel like we should be very proud of ourselves. I assume most of us come from a decent lifestyle. We've grown up with a certain appreciation. We feel a certain comfortability, both with our friends and our family. Are we really ready for that change? Genuinely, do we really feel that lacking? Or, you know, it's business as usual. Every year, you know, we'll go through the motions again. And, you know, the emunah at the end of Tisha B'Av. Maybe this will be the last Tisha B'Av. Do we really think that? Or is it just, okay, after Tisha B'Av, we're back to playing music, we're back to swimming, we're back to just the regular day-to-day activities. So it's through these ideas. And do we really have that emunah? And what's a good... it's almost like emunah also is very, very hard to, you know, have. Why? Because emunah is very, very hard to describe. It's not tangible. You can tell someone, have emunah. I'm going to teach... Here's emunah. What do you want to be... There's a certain mitzvah to believe that Kadosh Baruch. There's a mitzvah to take Lulav and Esrei. You don't have one. Here, borrow my Lulav and Esrei. Borrow it. You can take it for the day. Here, put on a pair of tzitzis. Make kiddush over a cup of wine. Have a moon. What does that mean? Have a moon. So on the most practical level, the best way of a moon is really the Mabit says that, and moon are primarily through the Koach HaTfila, through the power of Tfila. He views it as the most fundamental outlet of having emunah, Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Because again, if Yesod and Tefillah is understanding that you're talking to someone, you're not just reading a book out loud, or you're not mumbling words in a book three times a day. Rather, you're actually speaking to someone on the other end. There's someone on the other line, that's listening, that can also respond. Like we've almost used that one. We've used this marshal many times, right? It's that WhatsApp person. He's always online, right? And yes, when you send it, it's a blue check, and he's not just blue checking you; he's responding to you also. But you just have. It's about believing that, and through tefillah, ultimately, that's a very, 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 very important yisod. So I've got idea number one. That again, if we really, really, really want that Beis HaMikdash, if we really, really want that Geula, it's that theme of the Geula. The first theme of the Geula is again, is if we really want it, you have to believe. You have to have that emunah. Idea number two. Let's go a little backwards, and we're going backwards towards almost to the beginning of the parsha. In Perek Beis, Pasuk Aleph. Yes, Perek Beis, Pasuk Aleph. The pasuk says as follows. Vayelech ish mi beis Levi vaykach es bas Levi. So a certain man from the house of Levi, and he ended up taking for a wife, he ended up marrying a daughter of from the house of Levi. And who exactly are we speaking about? So Yitzi correctly points out that we're speaking about how Amram married Yocheved. But ironically, it doesn't really mention their names. So, what exactly? We know the whole pshat, the fact that they weren't supposed to marry because all the kids are going to die. Yeah, there was divorce. We end up getting remarried, having kids. But still, what's the pshat? Why did we mention the name of Amram? Why did we mention the name of Yocheved? These are only the parents of probably the greatest family to ever live in Klal Yisrael. Arguably, maybe my tiny, maybe the Shvatim, whatever. But you had Moshe, who was the monarch for a great amount of time for Klal Yisrael. You had Aaron, who was a pretty geshmak Kohen Gadol for a while. So, what exactly is going on? So this is based on the Gemara Pesachim Daf Nedalim and Beis. Gemara Pesachim Nedalim and Beis says that there are seven things that are hidden to the average human being, in which a human being it does not know. What? Nedalim and Beis. One of those things is what? Is that a person isn't going to know when the Malchus Beis David is going to return. And when is we gonna? When are we exact? What day? Are we, you know, when exactly are we gonna ultimately, you know, have that geula? It keeps us on our toes. It keeps us excited. It keeps us wondering. But it also keeps us, you know, sometimes also chalishing a little bit. We're sort of, you know, it's hard. When is that ultimate day gonna come? When is that ultimate day in which, you know, the rest of the world's gonna be like, you were right. Now I understand. All those years of, you know, anti-Semitism, all those years of Jews being persecuted and Jews being made fun of, all of a sudden, like, oh, that we're crazy. All of a sudden, you know, how great is that day going to be? And all of a sudden, everyone's like, whoa, you guys were right all along. And it's like every other religion's going to, like, have no other answer. But unfortunately, the Gemara Pesachim says those are one of the only things one of the only seven things in which a person doesn't know. So what exactly is the shaychus to Amram and Yocheved and the fact that their names weren't mentioned? So perhaps I want to suggest is that every inyan. When we say the fact that there's no that these things in the Geula aren't revealed to us, it's more than that. Every bit and piece, every specific inyan of the Geula, that's the pshat. It's being hidden from us. And well, at the time when Amram and Yocheved got married, that was almost the start of the Geula. Why? Because they got married and they eventually had a son, and his name was Moshe Rabbeinu. And he was the Redeemer, and that was that Geula. And there's stages and stages. Had to be kept a secret. Had to be kept in private. How do we know this even? I'll strengthen my Mahalach a bit. When Moshe was born, right? Moshe was who? Moshe was the Goel, right? Moshe was going to be the one who ultimately, you know, was gonna redeem everyone. And what happened? He had to be hidden for 3 months, away from everyone else. Why? Because not yet. Not everyone's, you know, the Geula, right? It's not that, oh, all of a sudden, here's the Geula. I present you the Geula in the hospital. Right? The mother walks out with the son. A Geula baby. It's not something that you know, everyone's supposed to know about. It's not something that, you know, supposed to be mefarsing. That's the godless of it. It's so secretive that it can happen any moment. Those are two clear cut rayas. The fact that that Moshe was hidden, who was the Goel, and the fact that the parents of the ultimate Redeemer, their names weren't even mentioned. You find another example about this also in our parsha, in the same parak. In Parak Beis, in the beginning of Aliyah, the third Aliyah, Parak Beis, Pasuk Yigimel Yedalid. All of a sudden, Moshe goes out. He's walking the streets. So what happens? All of a sudden, Moshe's in the street, and he sees two yidden quarreling. He sees two yidden fighting. And he says, "What exactly is pshat? Why are you guys fighting each other? Why are you hitting that man?" And we know. We know that was Dustin Vaviram, and what exactly did they respond? Vayomer me somehow Alish Sarge of a Shovin Elinilar Halargini Ata Omer Kasher Arakdas Amitzri Vayira Moshe Vayomer Achino Da Dover. All of a sudden they say, "Who are you? Who are you to tell us not to, you know, fight with people? Were you the one that killed that Mitzri? Oh, what are you going to do? Oh, you're going to kill us like you killed that guy? Who are you, the mafia? You're going to tell us what to do?" And all of a sudden, what happens? Says Moshe got very scared. The fact that now other people knew about his godliness. Other people knew about there was something called godliness. That Moshe had certain powers. Moshe was going to be the Goa. Wasn't meant to be known. That's why Moshe got afraid. And why? Because Achino da Dover, because the matter became known. Says Rashi over there. Rashi explains over there in Pasuk Gedalit that what exactly happened. Since, you know, they weren't able to, Moshe was afraid at that moment. Why was Moshe afraid? because the fact that they weren't, maybe the fact that they weren't able to keep this secret, this type of pnimius of a concept of geula, and the fact that they weren't, the fact that it's becoming more revealed, maybe Bnei Yisrael wasn't really ready for the geula. Maybe they weren't ready. Geula is something that's, you know, that's within, that ultimately becomes revealed. If it becomes revealed prematurely, it might not be shayach at that time. It could be that Bnei Yisrael wasn't ready. And Moshe, you know, thought that after all, Bnei Yisrael, they were ready. Because they were a nation full of pnimius. I don't mean pnimius in a Hasidic type of sense, in terms of, you know, pnimius chitzonius. The fact that just, you know, that they're just people that also try to strive to grow even within, not just externally. And with these two examples of again the yisod of the geula, that there's a certain type of secret that sort of keeps us guessing, a certain type of pnimius that's also just an idea, such a fundamental yisod about the way a person's supposed to live his life, a life full of pnimius, a life full of, you know, internal growth. Externals are good to a certain extent, but it's not the ikker. It's like a person, you know, you should, again the fact that you should live an inner life. Certain things are just not meant to be said. Certain lashon hara is just not meant to be said. The way a person conducts his life. Tznius isn't just a girl thing. Being tsanua. Guys, to a certain extent, are also supposed to be tsanua. And again, certain things, you know, it's nice to, you know, have dibuk chavir, but people have certain issues in life. People have certain ideas in life. Certain things are meant for you. Certain things are meant for your friends. Just a shot again. Sometimes it's just none of their business. Sometimes people feel, you know, like they're sort of pressured that, you know, you have other people in the base measure always constantly, you know, looking over them, trying to figure out what's going on with that guy. Again, in the most polite way, it's important, you know, to sometimes say, it's none of your business, you know? I appreciate the sense of arvus that everyone's, you know, connect every year. And chas v'shalom, nobody's, you know, trying to just get hak out of one of another. Rather, it's all coming, you know, midin l'shman, of course. But sometimes it's important, you know, you certain things are meant for you. Certain things are, you know, certain secrets. Certain, it's like almost like your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why in Shemoneh Esrei, you say it quietly. All those bakashas, that's between you and God. It has nothing to do with everyone else. So that's just, that's a second idea. Exactly. Idea number three. In the beginning of this week's parsha, all the way in Rishon, we mention, says Paro, they're coming down, and Paro, this new Paro, Machlokes Rav and Shmuel, based on the Gemara Sota, Daf Yud Aleph. Was it a new Paro? Was the one that he had new Gzeros? We don't exactly know, but there's Machlokes Rav and Shmuel, and then all of a sudden he realized that all these Shvatim and they're multiplying at a very rapid pace. And they're growing into a very strong nation, and the pasuk says Vayomer El Amo. Paro tells his nation, "Nu hine, Am Bnei Yisrael Rav Atzum Imenu." They're growing. They're a lot. They're on the rise. Almost like you would say, like in modern day social media nowadays, Bnei Yisrael is trending. They're trending now. So what exactly is pshat? What does it mean, menu from rather from us? Explains the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Kine am Bnei Yisrael zeh, says the Or HaChaim. Atzmo v'sar mishalanuhu ki anu echianu also b'shnei rav. They came down here in the years of the famine. V'chol mashin es rabbi mimenu who gam came. Ki v'shemim nefesh bala gor aretz ube'aretz. What exactly is going on? They brought all the 70 people down. The reason why they're so great, the reason why all of a sudden Yosef, you know, the brothers and the shvatim, and all of a sudden they became champions in all Mitzrayim. Why? It's because of us. It's our land. These guys weren't here from the start. They only came. That was Paro's taina. So now, Umeyata, says Paro to the Mitzrim. Yachzik be Yisrael bechazaka shema taina. We have a real taina on Klal Yisrael. Let's go out there and let's take back that which really belongs to us. Yischachmu lo lasis katov beinayim, because we're really entitled to it. So Or Chaim is explaining that the Pshat of the Pasuk is, yes, they had a lot of strength, they had a lot of wealth, they had a lot of honor, but Paro felt that no, that's not true. That's why Paro was concerned. Paro tried to convince everyone, no, that wasn't genuine, that wasn't real. They got that from us. So you know what? We got to go out there and fight back, fight for what genuinely is ours. Rav Soloveitchik notes that this is such a yesod regarding modern day anti-Semitism. Antishemiut, as they say in Hebrew. Is that what exactly happens? Paro thought that we were gerim. We were strangers. We weren't residents. We weren't veterans. We were just a bunch of rookies. And he thought this even with what? We were there already for 100 years. 100 years of Jewish generations were in Mitzrayim. And after all, have you ever heard this guy, Yosef HaTzadik? He, what do you mean a rookie, a newcomer, a foreigner? He was someone that, he was the best of the best. And yet still Paro thought that. And how do I know that's true? Even be medayik in the first pasuk of this week's parsha. This week's parsha, how does it open? Vela Shmos B'nei Yisrael. What? Haba'im Mitzrayma. What's Pshat in Haba'im? What does Haba'im mean? What's the word Haba'im mean? What? They what?
Came.
Came? See, that's what you would say if it would be in Lashon Avar. If it would be in past tense. Ba'u. This says Ba'im. They are coming. These are Bnei Israel that are coming to Mitzrayim. What's the obvious kasha? They're there. Who's coming? Any Jews that are being born, let's say now, are all born from parents that have been living in Egypt for years already. No one was coming down. Everyone was there in Mitzrayim. So what's the pshat? So the pshat is that what? That's exactly what happened. Paro viewed us. Paro never viewed us that we ever had any. He never viewed us that we had any kvius here. That we never established ourselves here. We're constantly coming, even though we never left. It's as if we were constantly coming. We're as if we were always newcomers. We were never the real deal. And that's why all of a sudden Paro sees a bunch of strangers. Just, you know, just trying to start some type of revolution, some liberal revolution. So Paro said, this is our house. This is my place. I'm not going to let the Jewish people do this. This is such a yesod in anti-Semitism nowadays. Why? Because no one, it starts like this. Very few people who are, most of the time think that there's no place for us in the world to live in. We have no place. No place to have to sleep. No country, no nation, no place that's ours. Therefore, we don't deserve to exist. That's what most people feel. Most anti-Semites feel. They hate us because, you know, we don't really have. They feel we don't have a place. And wherever we go, it's as if we're trying to intrude and we're strangers trying to overcome something. But we know that's fakert. We know where we are right now. That this is a nation which HaKadosh, this is a land which HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised us throughout Sefer Bereishis. And sometimes even in a non type of, you know, land type of thing. Sometimes we find that, you know, people a lot of times when we're in the street, we're dealing with secular society, they'll view us as these outsiders, as these newcomers. They'll look at us funny, look at us unique. You're not one of us. I heard someone say over Shabbos that it's almost like there was a story a bunch of years ago. There was after the Yankees won a World Series, there was a Jew that was on the train back. So he was taking the train from the Bronx back to Queens, and everyone was dancing. Everyone was at the game. Even if you weren't at the game, everyone had those Yankee T-shirts on. Everyone was dancing. It was all those Puerto Ricans. All of a sudden, he also started dancing. It was a lively time. At a certain point, two of the Puerto Ricans, there was like 20 people dancing on the train together, and two of the Puerto Ricans came over to this Jewish guy, and they said, they pointed at his yarmulke, and they said, "You, what are you doing? This is not you. You're not a part of us. No matter how much you know, even he tried to be part of society, you're Jewish, you're different. If you view that person as an outsider, as a foreigner, somebody that's just passing by, no one that actually has kvius." But something you can be mechazik in is that, take that uniqueness. The fact that we're different from everyone is not a pagam. It's not something bad. It's something unique, actually. Something good. Something, our uniqueness is actually our advantage. Our advantage, our strength. We take a lot of Jewish pride in that which we know we're the amanivchar. It's not that we're the outsiders. We're the chosen one. We're actually the most in, and everyone else is out, if you think with that mentality. But the yesod is, again, that it's on us, especially, again, in this process of the geula, in which we're dealing with anti-Semitism, is that the main thing is that we have to establish kvias, establish places, whether it's here, whether it's at home, whether it's with your friends, with your family, with colleagues, no matter what stage in life, whether it's as a bachur, whether it's a student in college, or whether it's a married, or whether you're married with a family, establishing a place of kvias. And that place of kfiyas should represent Torah, should represent Yiddishkeit, and should represent Avodas Hashem. So that's one of the ideas, in which, again, to summarize the three ideas which we spoke about. We had one main theme tonight about the Geula, and we wanted to speak about three different aspects, one of them pertaining to Emuna in the Geula, one of them pertaining regarding the secrecies of the Geula, and the third one regarding the anti-Semitism and the persecution on while we're enduring in Gullus, in order to Bez Hashem reach the Geula. May it be very soon. Have a great night.